Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so winter's coming back a little bit. Okay, so today we'll talk about a very interesting personality. We'll talk about some Torah, some Chassidus. Today we'll talk about an interesting personality. His name was Reb Naftali Trapp. And what made him interesting is that in many ways his life was a culmination of two developments of the 19th century. He lived at the end of the 19th century, the first part of the 20th century. Two of the major developments of the 19th century in European Jewry. Remember, Chassidus emerges in the 18th century. But two of the developments in the 19th century is, number one, the yeshiva world. The first yeshiva is Eitz Chaim, which is the Volozhiner Yeshiva, 1801. The next generation is Knesset Yisrael, the Slobodka Yeshiva. The latter part comes to fame in the latter part of the 19th century. Those are the two famous yeshivas. Obviously, there are plenty of yeshivas. There's Tells, there's Panovich, there's plenty of great yeshivas in Europe. And the second interesting movement of the 19th century is the Musar movement. We saw Salanter's the early part of the 19th century, where people realized, where in the past people thought that just learning Torah would be enough to assure moral probity and Yirat Shamayim, people realized this has to be worked on by frontal study, as well as moral exercises, not just, it won't seep in, it won't percolate by itself. A person has to internalize some of these moral messages. Reb Naftali Trapp was really a product of each of these two. I'll tell you a little bit about him. Part of the reason I thought of this is there's a lot of hot air in America now about a presidential candidate named Trump. A cartoon character, racist, very mean to people. I can promise you in 100 years no one will be talking about him. But Reb Naftali Trapp, Rosh Hashiva of Tali Chav, I promise you in 100 years more people will be concerned about him than about this cartoonish character. So he's born in 1871. Now keep in mind, that puts him on a collision course with the Holocaust. If you're born in 1871, it's likely if you live 70 years, then you're going to be 70 in 1941. So you're going to suffer the Holocaust. He doesn't. And we'll talk about why he doesn't. There are two chance events that happened in his life, and nothing is chance, obviously, that changed the course of his career. Now, at a very young age, he's 15 years old, his father sends him to Kelm. That's an important place. Kelm is known in Jewish lore as a place of idiots and morons. It's not true. Kelm was a fantastic town. These are just jokes that people made, the Kelm way to do things. And in the town of Kelm was one of the three Talmidim of Rabbi Sol Salanter, Rabbi Simcha Zisel Ziv, or Brody. And he was a real Baal Musar. His Musar was a little bit different than Rabbi Sol Salanter's Musar. But he comes very much under the influence of one of the great Baalei Musar. And this forms one of the formative parts of his identity. Then he travels, after being in Kelm, as a young boy. Remember, most of the boys in yeshivas in Europe were not 18, 19 like you are. They were 12, 13, 15. Boys were sent at a very, very early age to these yeshivas. So after being in Kelm, he then goes to a yeshiva called Tells. There's still several Tells branches in Cleveland and Chicago. Rabbi Goldfein from South Africa. Rabbi Goldfein started a yeshiva in South Africa, a very, very famous yeshiva in Johannesburg. He was a Tellser. So he learns from Lezer Gordon. He's one of the big Gedolim. Lezer Gordon was one of the big Gedolim of that last century. He learns from him. And then he makes his way, Reb Naftali Trapp makes his way to the Slobodka Yeshiva. That was the place to be in the last part of the 19th century, early part of the 20th century. And the Slobodka Yeshiva was run by a very famous person called Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, otherwise known as the Alter of Slobodka. And he was a Gadol producer. All the Gadol in the post-war Europe made their way through Slobodka. Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Huttner, Rav Ruderman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael. All the people that shaped post-war Torah learned in Slobodka. Now, at this point, Reb Naftali Trapp gets engaged to Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, the Alt of Slobodka, the main person in Slobodka. He gets engaged to his daughter. Now, if he's going to marry the Alt of Slobodka's daughter, it's likely he's going to be the next Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, because that's how things passed on. This is a person who was a significant Talmid Chacham. His fiancée wife dies before the wedding. She passes away. So that marriage never happens. And because that marriage never happens, in 1904, there's a great yeshiva that's first starting to come together under the supervision of the Chafetz Chaim. And I would say this is the second generation of yeshivas. The first generation of yeshivas in Israel is the Volozhin Yeshiva in Slobodka. This is the second generation of yeshivas. Now, in the second generation of yeshivas, people realize we have to have more than just a place to learn. In previous yeshivas, you have to make your own way, get your own food, find balabatim to feed you. There was no food in Volozhin. You have to find a woman, an almana, who would be willing to give you food every day for her tzedakah mitzvah. But now, this yeshiva in a town in Belarus called Radin, that the Chafetz Chaim is putting together, and in Radin, they're starting to have a nice big yeshiva and to worry about the boys' food, to actually not get the boys to worry about their food on their own, but to collect food for the boys. And who do you think they invite to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Radin? The Chafetz Chaim handpicks Reb Naftali Trapp from Slovakia, from Telz, from Kelm. And Reb Naftali Trapp has been known throughout Europe. And all of a sudden, the Yeshiva of Radin grows exponentially. They have to put up a new building, 1913, and then a new building. So the two new buildings, because everyone in Europe wants to go to Radin and learn in the Chafetz Chaim's Yeshiva with Reb Naftali Trapp. You can't beat that combination. This becomes the great yeshiva of Europe in the second generation. Keep in mind that Reb Naftali Trapp is not just a Baal Mussar and not just a brilliant Rosh Yeshiva, but he's also a practitioner of the Brisker Derech. He's one of the Rabbanim who's known for really knowing. He didn't learn with Reb Chaim, but in his learning, he was exposed to that Derech, and we still have his Chiddushim today, Chiddushim Reb Naftali Trapp, which are classic, classic Brisker presentations. Okay, so this is the up-and-coming yeshiva. But what happens, of course, in the mid-1916, 17? World War I. World War I breaks out in this area, and this yeshiva in Radin, which is in Belarus, like right on the border between Russia and Poland, they fear the advance of the Germans, so the entire yeshiva, with some exceptions, picks up and leaves and starts wandering throughout inner Russia, throughout World War I, going further and further east to get away from the war. And this deals a major, major blow to the yeshiva, a major blow to its finances. They end up coming back in 1925 to Radin after the war has already subsided, but the building has already been not demolished, but it was used for stables and ammunition by the German army. And the yeshiva never really recovers its former glory. So World War I didn't devastate the yeshiva, but it pretty much capped its ability to succeed. And keep in mind that Naftali Trapp, if he would have been in Slobodka, he probably would have moved to Israel, because Slobodka Yeshiva ended up moving to Israel, to Hebron, becoming the Hebron Yeshiva. And after the riots in 1929, the Hebron Yeshiva left Hebron to go to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Naftali Trapp didn't become a Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka. He became a Rosh Yeshiva in the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva in Radin, in the Belarus Polish town of Radin, or Radin. Now, what happens when he's on the run during World War I is he gets injured by shrapnel. There's a cannon fire that's shot near the yeshiva, where the yeshiva had to be one of the towns that they resided in, and he gets injured. And because he's injured, he never really recovers. Also, his wife dies young. So in 1928, he dies. So he's 59 years old. Now, that's a very sad moment that one of the top Rosh Yeshivas in Europe passes away at an early age. But keep in mind, because he dies in 1928, and he lives a short life, he isn't exposed to the horrors of the Holocaust that start to erupt 11, 12, 13 years later. Very often people associate him with another disciple of the Chafetz Chaim, or another person associated with the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman, him you probably have heard of. Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman wasn't really involved in the yeshiva in Radin as much. Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman had his own yeshiva in Baranovich, where my Zaidi learned. My Zaidi told me stories of Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe you know there's a... used to be a Rav in Melbourne. This is from Melbourne. This would be a Rav, not the previous Rav, but the previous Rav.
Was Abrinovitz?
Yeah. Abrinovitz, right?
Abranach?
Abranach. So he actually learned with the Chafetz Chaim. I think he learned in Radin. He learned in this yeshiva. He probably can tell you stories of Reb Naftali Trapp. There are men in Melbourne that were very close with Abranach, and they have stories that Abranach told them about the Chafetz Chaim and learning in Radin, and I'm sure some of those stories include Reb Naftali Trapp. So in a way, his injury in World War I is tragic. In a way, can't say that an early death is a happy event, but it spares him some of the horrors that someone like Rav Yochanan Vatzman, who died, who was killed in 1941 by the Germans, Yimach Shemam, having fled the Germans repeatedly, so Naftali Trapp is one of the people that escapes the Holocaust. So it's a very interesting microcosm of a lot of forces of the 19th century in Europe, of the Muslim movement, of the yeshiva movement, of the attempt to build new yeshivas, yeshivas that succeed, yeshivas that are interrupted by the war. We look at World War II as the greatest tragedy in Jewish history in the 20th century, and certainly it was. But World War I was a very, very devastating and disorienting experience financially and geographically, and it dislocated families. Here's really a casualty, so to speak, of World War I, less a casualty of World War II and the horrors of the Holocaust. So this is Reb Naftali Trapp, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chavetz Chaim's Yeshiva. His granddaughter marries a man named Reb Henoch Leibowitz, who becomes the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva in America. There are chains of Chavetz Chaim Yeshivas in America all over the country that still see themselves as continuing this legacy of Reb Naftali Trapp and the Chavetz Chaim in the Yeshiva of Radin. Okay? Shekoach, guys. Have a good day. If you want to learn everything, the Tali